We can be free in Christ. He has purchased us with his own blood. Now I belong to God. I'm no longer under the power of darkness. Man, I've been translated into the kingdom of his son. I've been adopted into the family of God. Do you realize you are now, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have been adopted into the family of God. You're not just in church, man. You're home. You're in the family. You're with your uncles and brothers and aunts and sisters in the Lord. Praise God. He has prepared a feast for us. He has written our names in his book of life. We're now citizens of his kingdom. And we have an inheritance, undefiled and incorruptible, that lasts forever, that's waiting for us in paradise. That's good news, man. Praise God. There is a place prepared for me in paradise with Jesus. When I check out of here, man, I'm not going just to the grave. I'm not going to some uncertain place that I have to be afraid of. I can check out of here with confidence because I'm going home. And it gets even better than that. Praise God. Because I'm not only freed from the penalty of sin. And please hear this. I hope this doesn't seem too elementary or too basic for you. But I mean, it's the truth. I'm not only freed from the penalty of sin, I am freed from the power of sin. Because I not only know the Son of truth, but he has given me the Spirit of truth to dwell inside of me and empower me and give me the strength and the power to walk in the freedom that Christ has called me to walk in. That's a living reality. John 14, 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And as it says in 2 Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You ought to be changed when Christ comes into your life. Something alive has happened inside of you. Something alive is now living in you. There is a power that he is giving you to tap into. The Christian life is not just some religion. It's not just some motions we go through. It is a living, powerful relationship. Man, I don't ever want to be in a church again where they tell you, you know, where they're afraid of the Holy Spirit. Man, I want to be in a church that says, man, the Spirit has come to give you life. I want to be in a place where they say, let that thing out. Amen. That's what Christianity is all about. It's not just putting the New Testament up on PowerPoint. It is a real living power. Do you know him? Have you experienced the power of God? Is he truly a living reality coursing through you, guiding you and leading you and speaking to your heart, nudging you? And giving you the conviction and the power and the boldness to really live for Christ. Is that a reality in your life? Because that's what Christianity is all about. The prophet back in the Old Testament said God wants to write his law upon your heart. And he does that through the Holy Spirit. He says there's going to be a change that takes place inside of you. It's not going to be like the Old Covenant where they just set out a whole bunch of rules. 600 different rules you had to obey. He says, man, I'll write my laws on your heart. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new life inside of you that will move you to live for me. Do you know that power? Are you living in that and walking in that? Would you like to? Are you hungry for it? Does it intrigue you at all? No, thanks. I'll just be here thirsty. I like it dry, man. I like my skin to crackle when I move, you know? Man, I like dust to gather on me. I like the cobwebs, you know? Just give me some more cobwebs. I'm comfortable here. Man, Christ wants to blow you up. He wants you to explode with power and joy and glory on the inside. He wants you to be in the middle of a coursing, rushing river of life that sweeps you away in its sweetness and its power. That's New Testament Christianity. Where in the world am I? Thank you. Yes. That's the whole reason Christ sent the Holy Spirit. So you could know that life, that living power inside of you. Romans 8:2 says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Man, if I'm walking in bondage, something is wrong. That's not God's plan for my life. Because he's given me a power that I can be filled with that the word says sets me free from the law of sin and death. That means I've got a choice now. I didn't have a choice before I got saved. I was a slave to sin. I know a lot of times I said, you know, I really got to get my act together. My life is falling apart at the seams, man. I've got dysfunction all over the place. I got to start doing better. And I would, you know, kind of gun up my willpower and say, okay, I'm going to just like, you know, like I'm going to live right. And that would last all of about a week and a half. I would gut it out under my own strength. When I got saved, man, started throwing out that old stuff because something alive had happened inside of me. It was the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now I have a choice. Yeah, that old flesh is still there, but I don't have to walk in that. I have a choice now. I can walk after the Spirit. I have a choice. I can go to him in the morning and say, God, fill me with your power. And as I draw near to God, he'll draw near to me, and he will, in fact, fill me with his power, and he will fill you with his power. If you go to him and say, God, I'm thirsty, man. Give me something to drink. Give me something alive inside. Jesus did not pay that awful price and hang there for 6 hours bleeding and broken on the cross so that you have to walk around in bondage and fear and dread and anxiety. He hung there so that you could be free. And he wants you to know that freedom. Romans 8:15, Paul says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. When was the last time you just cried out to God? Honestly, real question. When was the last time you just cried out to God? When was the last time you got so filled up with God that you just cried out and said, Oh, Lord, how glorious and excellent is your name? When was the last time you just got a little crazy for Christ? Started walking down the road and didn't care what anybody thought, and you just started raising your hands and praising God. Maybe you were sitting at a traffic light and you had some worship tune on the radio. Next thing you know, you didn't even know what color the light was. You just started raising your hands in the car and you didn't care because you were so filled up and you just wanted to cry out, Abba, Father, thank you for saving and adopting me. When was the last time you cried out to God? If it's been a while, man, I highly recommend it. It'll clean you out a little bit. Sometimes you just got to get that thing washed out with a little bit of glory. You haven't received the spirit of bondage. You received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, because the Spirit is crying out inside of us. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him so that we can be glorified together. An heir of God. Do you know what the difference is between an heir and a slave? This will blow your mind. What's the difference between an heir and a slave? You know, back in the Old Testament, of course, people had slaves back then. But basically, the heir, the son, the child of the landowner has all the rights and privileges that go with being the landowner. He inherits everything. The slave, no matter how well he might be treated, no matter how nice and gracious that landowner might be, the slave has no rights and no privileges. He is just out of luck. He is at the mercy of the landowner. And do you know that even in the Old Testament times, even if a rich landowner was so benevolent that he gave land to a slave to raise his crops and his family on, that slave could not keep that land forever. In the year of Jubilee, the slave would go free and the land would go back to the landowner. The slave would gain his freedom, but he'd lose the land.